Station. This is Father Alfredo Hernandez, Rector President of St. Vincent de Paul Regional Seminary in Boynton Beach, Florida. And it is wonderful to be with you. And I am here with a deacon in his final year, final months of priestly formation at our seminary, St. Vincent de Paul in Boynton Beach again. And he is studying for the diocese of, he is actually a deacon of, the Diocese of St. Augustine, the Mother Diocese of the state of Florida. And his name is Deacon Kenneth Laybird. Ken Laybird, Deacon Ken, good to have you with us today.
Thank you, Father. Good to be here.
We are recording this. I think you know that we do record this. We're recording this in the Advent season, in this time that we prepare for the coming of the Lord. And so let me just take this opportunity to wish all of you a happy Advent and a little bit ahead of time, a blessed and holy Christmas and Christmas season. And that dimension, one of the aspects of the Advent season is patient waiting for the coming of the Lord. And that's something that's important for all of us to learn how to do. And I think for somebody who's finishing 7 years?
Yeah, just about seven.
7 years of seminary formation, and who you had to, when you were sure that you were going, you needed to come to seminary, even that took a while. Certainly that virtue of patience, I know Deacon Ken, and I think it's been an important virtue in your life. So maybe tell us a little about your journey, maybe in that, with that sense of that. How's God called me to patience along this way?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to talk about patience. Well, I mean, an image that comes to my mind certainly is, the Blessed Mother carried our Lord for 9 months. And certainly a vocation can be seen as similar to, in some ways, and especially in my case, my relationship with Mary, just being present there and waiting and growing and learning and being formed in some ways in the womb of the church and in seminary. It is a process of growth and formation. And I mean, for me, I personally have felt called, the beginning of my vocation, I think, I forget exact six, I was probably 6 years old. My grandfather would take me to the chapel with him to adoration. And he always chose the 3 a.m. slot, which I didn't really understand at the time. And I would go with him at St. Rita Catholic Church. And, I would typically fall asleep, but, my grandfather always taught me that that Jesus was truly present in the Eucharist, and that I could say whatever I wanted to him. He was right there. And I would say from that moment is really the blossoming of a desire to be a priest. And I could see no other, I couldn't see anything more beautiful than from that friendship with Jesus to become a priest and administer the sacraments in that friendship with him. And so my journey, it hasn't always been easy. A lot of the seminarians.
No. And that's beautiful, Deacon Ken, and just that awareness of, hey, what are those first roots is always helpful for all of us, and to be reminded of them, especially when things are difficult somewhere along the way. So those are beautiful roots.
Yeah. And I think the beginnings are always really important to remember, where you came from. But, I know that, a lot of the seminarians, you talk to them about their story and you get a mixed bag. You have some who say that, their journey, they've always been faithful and close to the church and they've done all things well. And, at least in my case, I've had kind of a bumpy path and my own wrestling with, just the faith and myself, even, certainly, I would say a theme of my vocation has been healing, and just growing into the man that God has called me to be. And I share this story. This is something I share. I'm happy to share because I tell, I typically share this with like high schoolers, certainly the ones who are in like summer, you know, they go to the school to take summer classes because right. they didn't do so good in school. You know, but for me, when I was in high school, I got in trouble with the law at the time. I was far away from the church. And I remember sitting in the, that cold, waiting cell, you know, I had no idea what was going to happen to me. And there were two things that were on my mind at that time. And it was my mother thinking about my mom. And the second thing was that maybe I wouldn't have the opportunity to be a priest because I messed up so badly. Those things were weighing deeply on my heart. And at that time, I tell you, after that, I said, you know what? The two things I'm thinking about is the priesthood and my mom. Then there's really something, this is a real, you know, weighty calling that I really need to see this through and see what happens. So that, yeah, so I would say that, you know, after that, I came to a point after high school and I said, listen, you know, there's a cross. I feel like in a vocation, you come to a crossroads where you need to make a decision. And so, you know, I had come full circle and I was back to the church, you know, reconciled and, certainly had made peace with God and was doing my best as a Christian. And I said, Lord, either this is the chance, you know, this is the moment. Either I go do something else or I follow this call that I feel like's been on my heart since I was, you know, 6 years old. And so I thank God that I chose to pursue, you know, entering the seminary and to be a priest. And so it's led me to this point.
Well, and I thank God that you said that yes, and that the road has brought you now to being a deacon and serving in the church and preparing to be a priest, and so depending on who I'm interviewing, I kind of focus on different things. What I'd like to really hear about is, what has, before we look to what's coming next, to coming attractions, what has the diaconate been like for you?
Yeah, so the diaconate. So, yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, for me, diaconate, I'll say, if anything, it is, it's revealed in a deeper way in my own heart. You know, I don't know how many masses I can do in a weekend. I mean, I'm currently at Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Lake Worth. And, you know, I'm present at four different masses and typically, you know, two to three different languages. And I've gotten to a point now in, you know, in this role as a deacon, there's nothing that brings me greater joy than to be able to preach the word of God, to pray, to make sacrifice for the people, to offer, you know, my whole heart for them. At, you know, during the Eucharistic prayers. And I just, you know, when I'm away from it for too long on vacation, I kind of get a little antsy and I have to get back to the church ASAP. And I could just, in that way, I've come to realize that I know in my heart that my deepest fulfillment in life comes from this ministry that God is calling me to.
And so it sounds to me as if you're talking about something that is much more than a job.
Exactly. Yeah. This, you know, I used to work at Publix. God bless Publix. Publix is a great place, you know, and certainly has great selection of food and all that. But, and that is not an advertisement. you know, but I will say that certainly a vocation, a calling, in just like being a mother or father, you know, the vocation to be a priest is more than a job, but it is the deepest fulfillment that God has, in some ways I would say, God has designed our hearts to be compatible with a vocation, and for some that is priesthood, religious life, or to be mom and dad and married. And so whatever God is calling us to, I think that it's much more than a job, but it is the deepest fulfillments of our heart, as well as the greatest opportunity for sanctification that God has designed for us.
That's That's beautiful. There's a term and expression that we use in theology that goes back to St. Thomas Aquinas in the 1200s. Doing follows being. That we are. We live in a world that's all about it. What do you do? And even that so often could be the question. The first time you meet somebody, so what do you do? And really, for us as Catholic Christians, the question's always should start with who are you? And really, the diaconate now and priesthood later is who you are, is it not?
That's right. Yeah, and I would say a lot of this opportunity to be in seminary for 7 years, a lot of the fruits of that is uncovering what is a mystery and at first hidden to us, but really seeing that I am, in some ways, my heart is the puzzle piece that matches the larger puzzle of the priesthood. Like, I was made for this.
That is that is wonderful. And you are going to, you're serving now as a transitional deacon in what we call the vocational synthesis stage. You're serving on weekends in a parish here in the Diocese of Palm Beach, where the seminary is. But you are a deacon of, and you will be a priest of, God willing, in a little over 6 months, the Mother Diocese of Florida, the Diocese of St. Augustine. So tell us a little about the church in your diocese and what excites you in particular about being a deacon, a priest of that church.
Yeah, St. Augustine, beautiful. I mean, beautiful diocese. I kind of moved to St. Augustine knowing that I was going to apply for the seminary for that diocese without really knowing much. But as I've grown in this diocese and spent time here, one of the things I know that attracted me the most was, and I'm not just saying this to, but are really the bishops that we've had in our diocese have been, I mean, all bishops are amazing, right? But our bishops, in particularly in our diocese, have just been so wonderful, so orthodox, and truly like leading the diocese towards greater holiness. And so for me, you know, one of the things that one of my missions, I would say, is certainly to deepen the spirituality of my diocese, which I think is so important. You know, a lot of times we get caught in the doing, you know, especially in Advent season, we're preparing for, you know, parties and, you know, wrapping presents and stuff like this. And I think in our diocese, it's the same, that we can kind of get caught up in the doing rather than just the being, kind of like the Mary and Martha story, where, you know, I see a need, certainly in my diocese and all dioceses, to grow into a deeper spirituality and relationship with Jesus.
That's great. And really just that's what a beautiful place for that to happen. I think a lot of Floridians don't. Certainly, a lot of people around our country don't know. I'm sure even a lot of Floridians don't know that the oldest parish in the United States and the 50 states is in the city of St. Augustine, is your cathedral parish, and founded in 1565, 55 years before the Mayflower. And I think for us as Catholics to have a sense of that history is just so important as we're trying to live out the faith and to live it out, as I like to say, we with a desire to have as much happen in the ecumenical field as possible, but just being aware that we breathe Protestant air in the sense of the life in the South and sort of the way that American history is told. And so, yeah, you're in the home of the first home of the Catholic Church in America, which is a pretty cool thing.
It is something to be proud about. That's for sure.
Yeah.
If you haven't visited St. Augustine, you should go as soon as you can. It's a beautiful place.
And that is an advertisement.
Yes.
And maybe to link back to your previous non-ad, St. Augustine, where being a Catholic is a pleasure.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
That's awesome. So Deacon Ken, maybe, and here in all seriousness, moving forward, specifically about priesthood, preparing for your priestly ordination, what is the scheduled date, God willing?
May 23rd at 11 o'clock, St. Luke's Catholic Church in Middleburg, Florida.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Sorry, that's not the ordination. That's the first Mass.
Okay.
My fault. No, but May 23rd on Pentecost at 11 o'clock is going to be at St. Joseph's Catholic Church.
In Mandarin, right?
I believe so.
Okay. So as you look forward to priesthood, what is it that most draws you? What is it that most... at this point, it just fills you with joy and says to you, yeah, I'm trying to be patient, but I can't wait.
Yeah, I would say one of the things I was most eager to do certainly was to be able to do the Mass. The Eucharist has always been so close to my heart and certainly one of the main motivations for, for me pursuing the priesthood and even staying on this path. And I've been able to practice the Mass this term for the last, really, we call it a novena class, the last 9 days. And that has been such a blessing, like such a privileged time to be able to practice the Mass freely and just to learn all the parts so that I can, God willing, I could just be a very reverent and orthodox priest that, can serve the church for a long time. God willing. And, but one of the things I look forward to the most is I'd have to say the sacrament of reconciliation. And that certainly has been a sacrament very close to my heart, and it has had a big place in my conversion and the deepening of my conversion.
That is great. And just the awareness of the healing power of that sacrament is something that, I wish more people knew, more people had, and certainly there are many who I'm sure as I'm speaking to our listeners, many people who go to confession regularly and have beautiful experiences of confession. But I think just to be open to what God wants to give you in that sacrament, and it may be you may have a wonderful confessor or he may not be the best, but to know what God wants to give you, to know that, and I tell guys we're talking about confessions. Look at somebody, especially the amazing situations where somebody says, "Bless you, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 40 years since the last confession." Mm. Say welcome back. To be able to welcome people home is just such an amazing, amazing gift, and to be really to fulfill what Jesus said. Those whose sins you forgive will be forgiven. And Pope Francis used to talk a lot about it's not supposed to be a torture chamber, and how it can be that beautiful place of mercy. So those are beautiful things to look forward to. And maybe looking forward, is there anything if you'd rather say, Father, pass on this question, but is there anything that do you think, hey, this is going to be particularly challenging? This is an area where the Lord really is going to be calling me to kind of come out of myself to do this part of ministry.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Certainly there are challenges, I think, that come with this ministry. One of the ones that I like ministering, Spanish is not my first language. However, like, my heart is on fire for the Hispanic people who I know, they need ministered to. It's a very large, growing demographic in our diocese, in the Diocese of St. Augustine, and certainly there's not going to be an end to the need for priests that can at least celebrate the Mass in Spanish. And so for me, I've been, especially in these 9 days, like been working very hard to be able to say the Mass in Spanish in a way that's smooth and easy to understand. And I've been assigned to Sacred Heart Catholic Church in Lake Worth for this academic year, and that's a trilingual parish. And so I'm seeing, you know, it's Haitian, Spanish, English, and I'm seeing I've experienced the difficulty of going outside of your comfort zone. Certainly, like, cultural differences are no joke. They really are. I mean, you grew up one way, and then you're entering into a community that has done things very differently than you.
Right.
But what's common between them is that desire to love them and for them to be in heaven. I mean, the desire to save souls, to be present to them, to offer them everything that they need, the sacraments, to be able to make it to heaven, is what will drive me to go outside of my comfort zone, especially with the Hispanic community, which is the main growing demographic in our diocese.
Well, great. No, and I think that awareness is really a beautiful place to start. And I can remember many different things in my 33 and a half years of 34 and 34 and a half years of 33 and a half years of priesthood. Sorry. I can't count any longer. Just so many times where there might've been a ministry or a situation I was in. It's like, I didn't plan for this.
Sure.
and that's the surprises that the Lord will have in store for you are going to be amazing. And you've mentioned, just that desire for really being able to celebrate reverently, faithfully to what the Church calls us to do when celebrating the sacraments. Do you feel that you're being prepared well for that? And why does that matter to you so much? I have my answers on that. I think you know, but why is that something that matters so much to you? Why do you think it matters to the people of God?
Sure. So, and I think certainly all of our listeners have seen the Mass done well and reverently, and sometimes not so much. And I think for me, it matters so much to me because, and as a leader of the community that we're serving as a priest, and also the presider of, liturgical prayers, we are setting in some ways the example and in many ways the foundation for what the faithful are going to imitate as how should I approach the Eucharist? Like, our reverence and the way that we carefully, sometimes meticulously, follow what the Church is asking us to do while remaining so reverent and respectful and thankful for the Eucharist, Jesus's body and blood that he gives us at every Mass. I think it communicates to the people how important and how sacred and holy the Mass is. And I know when I've had priests who have celebrated very reverently and with great respect, it's allowed me to enter into that mystery and even awe of what is happening there, and can lead you down to deeper repentance, conversion, and self-examination, that because you want to receive it worthily and well. And I just think that it does a lot of benefit for us who are trying to grow in holiness.
That's very, very beautifully put. Some of you who may have worked, may have been sacristans or lectors or extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion, you might have seen in sacristies, many sacristies have a little sign that says, "O priest of God, celebrate this Mass as though it were your first Mass, as though it were your last Mass, as though it were your only Mass." And I remember one time I was getting ready to celebrate a wedding, and the best man, who wasn't Catholic, saw that above the door of, my, of the sacristy where I was pastor at the time, and said, that means don't phone it in. And I just, I thought he got it. And that's like to do it knowing what you're doing every single time, giving yourself really the words of institution, allowing the priest needs to allow those words to obviously to be Christ who is speaking, making himself present, but also saying it for himself. This is my body. This is my blood. I really am pouring myself out completely for the good of the people of God. And it's like the more, again, devoutly and reverently you can do so, as the church calls us to do it. Yeah, what an important teaching that is. How important it is for you, and what an important teaching it is for the people of God. And just maybe in a related vein, I think there's the element of the, as you said, teaching. How is it that we encourage? I like to say that the liturgy is not an ordination present that you get. They can do whatever you want with you. As a priest, you are going to be a servant of the liturgy. It's not your thing. And how important your obedience is to the people of God. We want them to listen to us when we preach, so they should listen to us. Then we need to be showing that we listen to the church and how we celebrate the liturgy. So,
And it's a good point. I would say a word that keeps coming back to me, especially while I'm practicing the Mass these days, is really just how privileged we are to be able to do it. And, you know, and there's still a mystery there that, why did God call me? You know, I ask that question sometimes. I mean, we have a basic understanding, but really there's a mystery why he chose me and to be a priest for him. God willing, I mean, we get voted on and everything in a few months, but really it is a privilege to serve the Mass and to inherit really this great, the inheritance of the faith that we have and the teachings of the church, that they don't belong to us. They have been given to us. Some of the things that were most striking about, especially learning about holy orders. And I think we took that class with you.
You did?
Yeah.
I hope you remember.
That's right. And some of the thing, you know, one thing that stuck out to me very much, was that the priest is assisting the bishop. Like, the priest is delegating some of his responsibilities to you and some of the authority that he has. Like, you are in service to the bishop, and you're kind of not on retainer, but there is a nature of, like, there's almost, to me, it almost sounded like a temporality, even though you're a priest forever, you know, once you're ordained. But still, like, the work that we're doing and participating in, there's a sense that it doesn't belong to us. It has been given to us. And it is, as long as we're here on this earth, we'll be celebrating the Mass. And so as many times as we're able to, we should treat it with as much care as possible.
Right. Absolutely. And it's that sense of, am I living out? We call what we receive Holy Communion. It's communion with God, with Jesus Christ. But it's also communion with each other, with the whole church, and how is it that I live in communion? And I think that's how we as priests celebrate the Mass, how we celebrate all the sacraments. Certainly, is always pointing to that. It's how am I expressing that communion in all of its dimensions in the most perfect way possible. Well, listen, Deacon Ken, thank you so very, very much for being with us. To all of you, thank you for listening to us. And this month, hope to that you would pray for Deacon Ken, for his classmates preparing for priesthood, those preparing to be ordained deacons in the spring, and really for all of us in our seminary community. To all of you, a blessed Advent, a very happy and holy Christmas, and a happy New Year. God bless you all, and see you next time in 2026 on Vocation Station on Divine Mercy Radio.